from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Markaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Gil Hudson, as the problem child.
Good morning. Welcome to Midnight in the Markaverse, where we get together and chill and talk about stuff and hang out with some of my comedy friends and my two comedy sons. And tonight, we're going to have some cannabis and cognac like we have every week. And this time, we're going to feature, again, Whoop Fam. Whoop Fam is Whoopi Goldberg's line. And this was one of the things she introduced us to. It's called a Zenko. And this is a Whoop Fam Zenko. And it's a cool little thing that you drink your vape. It's amazing. And we also are going to try 50 Cent's cognac Branson. Last week we had Shannon Sharp Shea, and this is 50's, and it's half price, so we're going to see how they compare. Now, this works, this. We hit this thing and turn it on. You turn it on like you do any other vape. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we go. And then we just push it. And watch this, Look at that. It fills up with the vape. And because the air is heavier, it stays in the glass. And you just remove this and drink it. Okay, that was a good hit. So we'll see if I can function through the rest of the show. And we're going to pour a little cognac. If I can get this stopper out. Just a little nightcap once a week. Just a little rheumatiz medicine for my old bones and joints. And just chill, you know, take the edge off the week of the all of the hustle and bustle. And that's why we do it at midnight, where it's the exact opposite of happy day people scurrying around, running around, losing their minds, staying busy all the time. This is chill time. This is cool out chill time. And this is to you. I'm so excited about this show. This show features some things I really want to talk about and get into. And my special guest, my friend girl from way back. And not only is she a friend, she's one of the premier comedians in this business. She has made a mark on this business that is hers and hers alone. And I'm so happy she's here. I think you're going to enjoy Kim Whitley. But stick around, because right now we're going to talk about something that I saw in a video. We're going to talk about a video I saw by a young content creator named Garrison Hayes. I had seen his work before, never really knew his name, but I had seen his work and always been impressed with the way he presented himself and the arguments he makes. And they're very thoughtful and very well done. He does a lot of research. He does a lot of content in his videos. And so I was watching one on YouTube, and he was talking about how the commercials, the black commercials in the 70s, that watching them now, they seem kind of cringe. You know, it's like they seem a little, for lack of a better word, coonish. And so he made some very interesting points and put together a very well-crafted argument as to how these things came to be and the history of show business and the like. But as I watched, I noticed that he was not mentioning a salient point, and I'm pretty sure he probably wasn't aware. These commercials that he's talking about, especially the McDonald's commercials that featured Calvin, and Calvin gets a job, and they seem really forced now. They were also the ones, they always kind of started with, "Hello, my brother, have you had a hamburger today?" Something like that. And then everybody would start singing. And so he was saying that they didn't seem to show Black people in the best light. But he wasn't mentioning that these commercials were all created by a Black man who had a Black advertising agency that is now established as one of the premier agencies in the country, the Burrell Agency. And so the question is, how do we get these kinds of images that seem now so rather embarrassing, knowing that they were made by Black people and that this is progress? Before we can understand any of that, you have to understand that American show business was built on blackface minstrelsy. That is the foundation of American show business. And everything is an outgrowth of that. And for by and large, these were images of Black people presented by people who deliberately designed to mock us, to exaggerate, to lampoon us. And these were meant to be stereotypical and insulting. And so American show business can be said to be built on putting down Black people, making fun of Black people. And we have incrementally moved forward and tried to put a more positive spin on things, but it's all in the context of a business built on making fun of Black people. And as we go further into the history, it becomes more easier to see how you can get to a point where what was a real progress at the time now seems embarrassing. And that's going to take more than just the few minutes we have here tonight to really delve into it. And so this is a feature of my, will be a feature of my comediosophy, my philosophy of comedy. I find myself going on sets that have Black producers, Black staff, Black actors, hairdressers, agents, everybody on this set. And I am usually moved to tears because when I started, if there were Black people on the show, they were on one side of the camera and everybody else on the other side was not Black. So there's been so much tremendous progress where you have producers who are mega producers, you have so much industry and so much outlet, but it was a long, torturous path to get here. And the Calvin commercials, like I said, seen in the proper context, are positive. They are the result of a lot of activism. A lot of it gets lampooned itself because when you're raised in a system, you tend to absorb the narratives that you're fed. And so we lampoon and make fun of people like Jesse Jackson, whose Expo and Operation Breadbasket and Operation Push in the 70s, and his activism as far as getting people and major corporations to invest in the community where they had not before. Those efforts paid off in things like commercial access for Black advertising agencies, as well as more opportunities for performers and all across the board. And so we can make note of that, acknowledge it, and take a look at some of the Calvin-esque commercials. Most people my age are very much aware of what those commercials were. And they were kind of funny back then. You know, people made fun of the Coke 45 commercials and the McDonald's commercials and the Afro Sheen. Your Afro is the best in the neighborhood, or whatever they were saying. But it was a tremendous step in along the path to get us to positive representation. And so we'll get into that more as we go forward. But right now, we're going to have to take a break to have a word from our sponsor. This week's Midnight in the Marshaverse is brought to you by Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings Park and Porch Picnic Packs. Do lazy summer afternoons spent demanding the papers of innocent deliverymen make you long for the good old days when harassing those people led to a good old-fashioned family picnic and barbecue? Then Aunt Karen has just the meal for you. Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings packs old park and porch picnics in a can, complete with her special raisin potato salad in a can, her delicious stovetop mac and cheese powder in a can, rare fried chicken in a can, and of course, Elvis's special peanut butter and banana and bacon biscuit sandwiches in a can. Just heat with a tiki torch or a sterno can and serve on a white sheet. Your family will enjoy trying to find the hidden gator bait baby and win their very own battle flag blanket for those chilly nights before the bonfire starts. And don't forget the Aunt Karen meets Miss Scarlet carrot cake in a can for dessert. Because as long as Aunt Karen is making your Southern Suburban dinner, the past is just around the corner. When I was talking about the past and the blackface, one of the most famous blackface performers, of course, was Burt Williams. And Burt Williams performed with a partner, George Walker, Williams and Walker. And George Walker's wife, Ada, also worked with the group, Ada Overton Walker. And she's the first black comedian that I know of by name. Now, if we fast forward through all of the other women who came after her, and some who labored in obscurity, and some who, like Moms Mabley, took us to another level. We get to today, and I get to introduce a lady who makes that legacy proud. And so I'm glad to call her my friend, and I am honored that she's here tonight. Hello, Kim Whitley.
I'm going to be like, oh, hi.
Hey. Hang on a minute. I can't get, oh, yeah. Yes, there you are. Hi, girl. How you doing?
Hi, Marsha.
You know, I am so proud of you, and I'm so happy you're here. And I also, before we go any deeper, owe you so much. You have been such a friend to me, such a supportive friend in my comeback to show business that I cannot say enough.
It has been an honor. Let's first of all say that.
Well.
And this has, about time, you should have been doing this a long time ago. Do people know how long you've been fussing on Facebook? It started on Facebook.
Yes, it did.
That's when it started. I can, about time, you should have had this a long time ago, and you're good at it.
Oh, you know, thank you.
Yeah, all that information you were talking about with Calvin and the Burrell Agency, I was sitting there learning. I forgot I was going to be on the show. I was watching.
Yeah. But you're in that lineage. See, you're in that lineage. I haven't been to the National Museum of African American History and Culture in a long time, but they do have, like, they show all of the history of black show business and everybody. And you have a space there. And so I met you long time ago.
Long time ago.
And you came to my sister's barbecue.
I know.
Yes. And sat around and ate ribs and unsweetened pie.
Did you say unsweetened pie?
Unsweetened pie. You remember?
Unsweetened pie.
It was a sugarless pie.
Sugarless.
Yes, the lady who made the beautiful pies. Yes. They were beautiful. Looked like they came from the store, from the bakery. But she was health conscious, yes. And so she made them sugarless. And that was nobody knew that. Nope. Before they ate it. So it was an interesting afternoon.
Yes, it was. But you were funny about that.
Well,
that's right. That's when that was so many, many years ago. And that was, see, what's interesting how you talk about our journey. That was the beginning of my journey. I mean, the very, 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 like, you know, when people say they step foot on Plymouth Rock, you know, I just stepped foot in Hollywood. I just gotten here, literally probably been here a week.
Well, I didn't know. I don't remember where I met you, but something made me say, come over.
And that's what I was going to say. I think maybe one of your friends must have brought me over there, because
there was something about you, your big, big personality, and you do comedy. And at the time, people thought it was rare for a beautiful woman to do stand-up. And you were, you know, just taking that Lucille Ball approach to where, yeah, I look like I look, but I'm funny. And you made an impression, but you were concerned.
Yes, I was concerned, and you eased my concerns. But I was concerned enough, not only about people who were haters, but just about being so far away from home. And when you see someone like you, you're doing it, you were strong, and it what makes me realize who I am in the industry when younger people see me. I understand my position because I saw you, and I said, I'm watching her, she can do it. So I think people do the same thing for me.
Well, you bore, or people thought you bore, a resemblance to Jack Hay.
Yeah, I still.
That was seen by some as a negative. And somebody had put in your brain that that meant that you didn't have a place in this business because we already got one Jack Hay.
Right.
And,
They were threats. There were threats made, Marsha. And I told you there were threats.
You told me there were threats. And I, you know, I know Jack Hay, and I'm pretty kind of comfortable in saying there were the kind of threats that she was joking.
And that's why it wasn't even her.
Okay.
One of her adjacent people. She never directly said anything to me.
Okay, that's good. Crazy. I'm glad to hear that. But I was like, I know that nobody can stop anybody. Nobody can keep anybody from their path. And so I was very comfortable in telling you, girl, don't pay no attention to that. Go on, do your thing. You here, you came out here for a reason. You have a belief in your talent and yourself. And so don't let nobody tell you you can't do that.
You sure do.
We've come through that to my retirement, and then come back, said I was going to start doing stand-up on Facebook. And then you not just gave me a job, gave me praise, and let me come out. Let me come out publicly in one of my first appearances back in the business. And I will always be grateful for that. I don't think I had looked that good before or since.
Baby, you fantastic. See, that's what's so crazy. It was like I was a fairy godmother and you were Cinderella. It was one of those nights. I was so excited because you were brave enough to tell the stylist what you wanted to wear. And you hadn't dressed like that in public.
No.
And
I hadn't dressed like that in private. I was coming out. I'm coming.
Baby, you came. You were sharp as a tack. And well, I mean, you looked good.
Beautiful. And you were tribute. I was also, imposter syndrome was on overtime because you were honoring people who had an impact on you. And I'm like, oh, she must have got to four and needed a fifth. And so he just pulled my name out of the hat because I had been dormant for years. And when I walked into the dressing room, I saw Jane Kennedy. Jane Kennedy, okay, I'm gay. She's gorgeous. Yeah, she was a crush. But more than that, Jane Kennedy, I so admire people who stand up. And she stood up.
Yes.
And she took a lot of guff for being a beautiful woman who knew what the hell she was talking about football. And they ostracized her, fired her, and all kind of stuff, and she still persevered. And they just did a special with her and Brent Musburger honoring her, making people know just how big an impact she had on sports. There were no women. There were like four, three, whatever, and no black women. And she had a spot on CBS Sunday morning football or whatever and aced it.
Yes,
not just as arm candy, not just as, oh, isn't she gorgeous? Oh, look, the big man got the ball. No, she was like, no, he's going to do an end around and could have passed off to Buck. She knew what she was talking about.
She knew the sports.
So I fanned out on her. And I asked her if she would sit with me, and she said yes. And so we sat together like a date, you know, and it just made it a whole dream come true.
It was a magical night.
Yeah.
And I think I was just so excited because that night was pretty magical. And I think about the women that in that, that you said the fifth, but it was women who were pivotal in my career. Each one of them, and that's like you said, Jane Kennedy, really, we saw her on television and knew that we could do it. And her strength, I wanted her to be honored because her strength of even what she went through with that marriage and, you know, people, now I look at TikTok and people showing everything. We look at Instagram, people showing everything. They showed one tape of her and, you know, really tried to destroy this woman.
Yeah.
Very instrumental.
Well, she threatened the patriarchy just being that beautiful and not being stupid. It was threat to the, you know, guys. We're talking football. These guys are like, she can't know as much as us. And when she was right and they were wrong, wasn't no more for her.
But I'm
doing all the talking, but it came around full circle. Again, when you and, you know, Sherry, you were on the Sherry Shepherd show and you sent me a tape of you in the dressing room that she dedicated to me. Again, I'm like, why am I, they're, you know, icons she's honoring. What did she run out of people to name? And so I was very overwhelmed with that. And
a whole dressing room. No, don't skip over that. There's only about four or five dressing rooms in the building. Because she'll tell you, okay, you're going to be in the Marshall Warfield dressing room. You'll be in the Whoopi Goldberg dressing room. But it's your picture, everything honored. I know she asked you to send her something. I was so excited when she did that. See?
I was too. Now, what was your breakthrough role? Wow. What was your breakthrough appearance? What was it?
It probably was Next Friday, my first movie with Ice Cube. That had to be the breakthrough right there. I'd done small parts on different things, but when I played Sugar in Next Friday, baby, that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you have made, like I said, quite a career for yourself. Still, you are still kicking ass and taking names. You and Sherry's two funny mamas is what are you on your 50,000th episode?
Like 200 something.
And you're a mom.
I'm a mom, a 13-year-old now.
All right. How's that feel?
You know, it feels good. I forget sometimes that I am a mother and I get caught up in this business. Like tonight, my friend Andre was like, we're going to go to this show. I had to stop myself and say, I've been out of town. My son is just really starting school and missing some assignments. I said, just stay home. Sometimes you just got to, I said, just stay home and spend some time with him. Sacrifices, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah, because I'm going to still do comedy. Once he's gone off, gone to college, I'll still be, you know, chasing his bag.
Okay. I'm living proof that they, if we don't stop yeah. with them. I've seen them wheel comedians out on stage if they have to put them in a gurney. They're like, and so then, we just don't know how to. Plus, we don't know how to save money, so we have to work. But not only happy you're here, I'm also happy that you came out to the Netflix show I did. I've been nurturing this Book of Marcia since forever and trying to get it perfect. And I got to show it in a theater like it's designed to be seen. And you and Wanda Sykes came to the show, and I was very, very grateful.
Yeah, we love you. We appreciate you, and you're different. You're not one of them stand-up comics that just tell jokes. You're not a stand-up comic that's going to go with the norm. You do what the hell you want to do, and smart and funny. You got to think about that. A female comic is not a lot of women who have political humor, family humor, and then your story. This is the thing, you think you know somebody, but you don't. I'm sitting in the Book of Marcia with my mouth open. I was like, what?
Well, I'm glad I had a couple of secrets, you know, left.
You did.
But I said, very, very honored that you came. And I'm very honored that you've been such a friend to me.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for coming here tonight. And if you stick around for a minute, I know my comedy sons, if Skills is through smoking his blunt and Steven is not ranting about something, I'm sure they have a couple of questions for you. Would you mind staying?
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. I like that little thing that you smoked the vape. That was crazy.
Okay. Wasn't it cool? I couldn't wait to show it. But yeah. We're going to take a little break and then we'll be right back. I want to invite you to like, share, comment, write a note, send me an airplane, a paper airplane. Anyway, any kind of way you can let us know how you feel about the show, what you want to know, things you might want us to do, and who you might want me to talk to. And thanks for being here right now. Remember, like, share, comment, tell your friends, post up all, you know what to do. We're back, and now I get to introduce my two sons. They mean the world to me, and my first I'm going to introduce tonight is my baby boy, my problem child, and I love him to death. Please welcome Skills Hudson.
What up, Ma? Hey, Bebo.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good.
What you smoking on?
All this?
Yeah.
That take your glasses off.
Okay.
You gotta be focused. Keep you focused.
Oh, okay. I got
you. You don't need no glasses. I can see real good right now.
There ain't nothing to look at when you feel it like that. Okay.
Yes.
Hang on. And I'm going to introduce your brother. And this is my oldest son, the one who looks most like me. And today is his birthday.
So yeah.
Hey, and happy birthday to my baby, my oldest boy, Stephen Roberts.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I wanted to bring you guys on while Kim was still here. You know, did you hear? Did you hear her?
Oh, of course. I'm so excited she's here.
It's wonderful. And, you know, wait. When you come back, I'm going to tell the story of me, you, and the stripper, Kim. But we don't have time for it now.
Oh, we have time. We have time. Skills. Do you have time? Because I have time.
I'm going to preface that, and then next time you come, we're going to talk about the time you shot somebody.
Right? Okay. Like the most exciting part, the stripper, let's hear it.
No. But trust me, it's a wonderful story. It takes me about 20 minutes to tell, so we can't do it.
Right. But
do you have any comments, questions, anything you want to know, anything you heard, anything that comes to mind? Stephen?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of your show about you raising your son. And I am also a parent. And I wanted to know from you, because I think this happens to all parents. I wanted to know, what was the one thing that you said or did to or with your son that you promised yourself you would never do or say?
Oh, I can't say that on the air. I get arrested.
I brought you in this
world, and I'll take you out. But you know what? I think call him out his name. I said I would never call him out his name. I'd have called him everything else but a child of God. Lord have mercy. I would say that's probably the one thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he seems to have turned out fine in spite of that. He's a good-looking man.
Yeah, he's a nice kid. You know, we raise our children the way we were raised. And I think that is probably, you know, my mama, yeah, she was a cusser. She cussed. So yeah,
you're from one of them stable upper ghetto families. See, that people don't know. You from
Shaker.
Frou-frou,
A little frou-frou, but my mama.
Okay.
She wasn't from, hey. This is embarrassing.
But that's what I try to tell you.
What was the one thing as a pet parent you wish you'd never done, but you did?
I wish I had never. Yes, we can let them out, please, because they're barking. The one thing I shouldn't have done, you should never buy a big dog after 50 years old.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
It is not. That's the one thing. These dogs, you got to be able to handle a big dog to knock you over. Don't do it.
Okay, your dog takes you for a walk.
Yeah.
Okay, Skills. I know you got a burning question.
Well, not really a question. I'm just mad. Okay, I'm excited you on the show, and I just wanted to say, when I was a new comic, before I even got started doing stand-up, when I moved to L.A., I was a big fan of yours. I was really, really like a stalker of you. And you know what I'm saying? From afar. Then you and Buddy Lewis had a show in North Hollywood. I was a brand new comic. I used to hang around there. I never went up because I was just watching you. Then after that, you and Kim got a show at the Comedy Union.
Yep.
Y'all got a show at the Comedy Union. And you let me perform there numerous times. But the time you took a picture with me and you had a sucker in your mouth and we was on the stage and I ended up getting with this lady after that because she, you know what I'm saying, she was like, oh, if he could be around Kim like that, oh, he must be something. So anyway, I'll just
it's the sucker in your mouth part that I was like, wait, how's that connected to the
You had a lollipop. You had a lollipop, a blow pop.
Words, you got
and I was about to take a picture, just a regular picture. You was like, no. And you hugged me and I got a lot of love for that. And yeah, you always showed me love ever since then. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to, you know,
thank you so much.
Funny,
I wouldn't have hugged you. I wouldn't have done nothing. But you was funny. And I was like, oh, I can take a picture with him. He going to be somebody.
Yeah, he's funny and he's still cute. Look at him.
He's so cute. That's a cute song. When is the drinking part of the show? I've been waiting to drink.
Oh, you can drink anytime, honey. I've been drinking. You ain't
seen. Yeah. I've been sitting here. I'm gonna drink. My mouth got all part.
No. What you drinking?
Now I'm drinking. It's a mixture of like a ginger, one of those sukas, and some soursop. Because it's late, I didn't want to. You know, stay up, but I probably should have opened up some of my white Hennessy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, you can't go wrong with the yak. And this is not bad.
What's his name? 50 Cent's yak.
Yeah. So it's not bad, and it has decent legs.
Mm-hmm.
And so. I'm enjoying it, and I have so enjoyed having you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. And anytime you want to stay up late, you know, welcome to join us. You ain't got to dress up. You ain't got to do nothing. You put on your pajamas, lay in bed. And
I love that.
So, because this is all about the chill. It's all about the chill. I'm going to feel good. And again, you know, coming back to the Golden Girls song running in my head. Thank you for being a friend.
Oh, thank you. Please have me back. This was so much fun.
Anytime. Yeah. Y'all say bye to Miss Kim.
Bye, famo.
Thank you. See you later.
All right, bye, friend. Kim. All right, bye-bye.
Don't lick me. Don't lick me. don't lick me. Don't lick me. Okay. I'm the most meet and greet person. I like being around people. I am stand up after the show. I like to meet and greet. I don't know what I say or vibe I give on stage that the other day, this lady, she said, this is her birthday. Her friend, she was like, can we take a picture? I'm sitting down in front of my behind my merch. She goes this block down right in between my legs. Now I wanted to complain. The middle of my part of my body didn't want to complain because it enjoyed the situation, but I felt violated at that point. But it happened so quick. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be nice. Then the lady goes to take the picture. She hugs in, and I'm going to focus on the smiling, and then I feel the warm tongue hit my face, and it was a slow, sensual lick, and I'm smelling denture juice. I'm smelling hot sauce. I'm smelling the drink. I'm smelling all this, and I'm still smiling. And then I turn around to her, and then I start roasting. I'm like, hey, lady, you can't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. It's security around everything. I'm like, secure some shit. Secure something. I just got on stage performing for all these people, and you just let my face get licked? Now, what if I would have tried to lick somebody? You're not going to allow me to lick no lady. You know what I'm saying? But this lady was able to lick my face. I didn't feel like I should have to say this, but I'm going to start having to say it. Don't lick me. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Skills. Don't lick me, Hudson.
Okay. Well, you got that on record. And thank you so much for sharing that really disgusting story. And now we turn it over to the 2-minute rant champ.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that's your next t-shirt, Skills. Don't lick me. And maybe a tongue on your
says lick me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one don't lick me and one that says lick.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't want to lick me one.
No,
I already been licked. No licky. No licky.
Okay.
No, like oh look, you're frozen. Oh, there you go.
Birthday man, birthday.
Oh, let's talk about something light. It's my birthday. I want to talk about something light, something, you know, kind of humorous. Let's talk about the word faggot. Who told straight men they could say the word faggot? Who told them this? Who said that they could say the word and the word gay? How come faggot and gay get to be told and like that's still a word that can be used by straight men? It's so funny because I watch wives tell their husbands, don't say that, don't say that. It's like, but I didn't mean it like that. I meant it the other. It's the word. The word is the word. The word is exactly what it means. That's what it means. It means a gay person. Gay and faggot mean exactly that. How can it mean anything else? You're at the sports arena playing basketball with your friends, and somebody says, oh, you're gay, or oh, shut up, faggot. Like, that only means one thing. That only, I refuse to be your punchline. I am not going to be your punchline. I'm Skills' punchline. He keeps calling me Karen. I'll be his punchline. You can make fun of white guy, white male, all you want, but lay off the faggot words and the fag and the gay. It's not yours. You don't get to use it. It's not yours. Stop it.
Okay. Don't say gay.
Stop it.
All don't right. Say gay. Don't say gay.
Don't say gay.
That shake weight thing you were doing, Skills. I saw that. I saw that.
Were you doing something, Skills?
He was doing a shake weight thing.
I was. No, this is a 20-pound weight.
Yeah, but it's white, and you would
do. Oh, I was, because I was doing this.
Yes.
Why were you doing that?
I'm building my wrist.
Okay.
You're going to fend off the people who are licking him.
My 2-minute rant is Republicans. I don't understand the Republican Party. I didn't understand them when Nixon was running, and I didn't understand. I was too little to understand the shift that was going to happen with the Civil Rights Act and the Southern Democrats defecting in 1964, and then Nixon coming into power and the Republican Party. The Republicans used to have liberals and moderates and their far right people, just like the Democrats had liberals, moderates, centrists, and their Southern Democrats. When they switched, they both went kind of extreme, and they both went to the extremes. But the Republicans went way to the McCarthy kind of just really madness. And they are so invested in their let's go back to before the Civil War, because the Southern Democrats, who are now the Republican right wing, they're still upset that they lost the war. They're still upset that there was a Civil Rights Act. They're still upset that I'm a human being and that I am an American. And so they are doing everything they can to try to go back to the days to make America what it was when they thought that only white people could make decisions and only white people really counted and everybody else was put on this earth to serve them. And so this mindset has gone so crazy that they will elect an orange clown, a criminal clown. He's like a combination of it and Ronald McDonald. And he's just like this, he's an unserious person. To call him weird or whatever really does a disservice to those words. The man is a menace. The man is anti-American. He never says anything good about this country. He's always talking about what's wrong with it, what's wrong with everybody but him, and he's the only one who can fix it, and he's lying through his teeth. And so just the image of Kamala Harris saying that we are a united nation, that we are, it's about being an American, and we all have contributed to this society. We all count. We are all patriots. We are all citizens. It just, that stark difference really makes the Republicans seem even more weird. Yes, weird is a good word, but it just bothers me because there is a tradition of Black Republicans. Republican Party was the party of abolition. There is still people who hold on to the kind of conservative values. I don't understand it because conservative means going back in time. And the further we go back in time, the worse it was for Black people and women and gay people and everything I am. But there is a tradition of Black conservatives, especially religious, white Jesus worshiping Black people. And so there is that tradition, but they can't be representative because the rest of the party is so anti-us. And it makes me mad and it makes me sad. And I don't understand it. And that's my rant.
Well, as you know, it is my birthday. And when I got home this evening, my husband decorated the entire living room with yellow balloons. Yellow is my favorite color. And big and small, this huge archway between the living room and the kitchen was so sweet. I have a picture of it. I'm going to put it up for you guys to see. I'm going to send it to you so you can show everybody my lovely little living room with all the yellow balloons. Wasn't that sweet? So sweet.
Yeah. Yes.
Did the dogs like it?
The dogs are going to hate it when we pop them.
Okay.
That's going to be a thing.
All right. Well, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Yes, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, Skills. What was the highlight of your day?
Well, the highlight of my day was around 2 o'clock today. It's been cooler than the last couple of days than it's been out here. So I went out to the jacuzzi, and what I did is it wasn't nobody around. I waited for like 2 or 3 minutes to just really scope to see it wasn't nobody around. And I told myself, I took off my shorts in the water and let them float around for a few seconds. And then I played around, then I put them back on.
But under the water,
like I let them, you know, out the water, let them float up to the top, then I grabbed them then.
It must have felt real good. And we have some tape that I'd like to show.
Wait, what?
Scared the shit out of you, didn't I?
When you said floating to the top, I wasn't sure if you meant your shorts or something else.
Yeah.
What's floating to the top? Those are low hanging. They got all the way to the top. Wow.
No, just the tip.
Anyway, the highlight of my day is right now. I so enjoy talking to you guys and spending this time with you. And so the highlight of my day and to have Kim on the show is like butter on your bread, icing on
so amazing.
You know, with ice cream and a cherry on top.
Yeah.
And I mean what I say when I talk about how comedians have always been considered unattractive, that being unattractive was part of your comedy shtick. And many women made themselves seem unattractive because they were comedians. And there's been in the past, 50 years, this whole shift where stunningly beautiful women do stand up. And I mean, these are really pretty, attractive women, and they have substance, and they have a tremendous amount of talent and style and just badass sapphire spirit, regardless of race, color, creed. They're just, assertive and hold their own and feminine.
Yeah, and beautiful. Or and they're somewhere in the middle, and somewhere in the middle, and they don't have to go up or down. They just be themselves.
Right. Yes. They're, I mean, they're all beautiful, but it used to be considered a, you know, a detriment.
Sure.
Until women like Lucy. And then Lucy wasn't always the stunner she was or could be.
Right.
Played down your looks. And so
Phyllis Diller is a great example of just, she just uglied up, and she was not an ugly woman.
So did Mom. So did
the
others. And even Joan, when she went glam, still had when it just was a different
era. Wanda Page.
LaWanda was a fire dancer.
Yeah, I was surprised when I found out she was dancing, legs out, and
yes, legs up to here. And so we no longer have to be unattractive to be funny. You know, and it's no longer a detriment. And I think Kim is a great example. Most of the women that I've worked with could fit into that category. And I think that's a good thing. Allure is power, and they are using that power along with their other talents and just creating a whole new definition of what it means to be a comedian. So, son, hi.
I want to thank
you both for being you. I love you madly, and I am so happy for both of you. I'm so happy for you skills. You were just on a big show in L.A., right?
Oh, yeah. What the Miracle Theater. It was at the Miracle Theater. Chris Spencer, speaks highly all of you. The Elliott Brothers Comedy Block Party at the Miracle Theater in Inglewood. Tommy Davidson headline I featured. And
okay. What's coming up?
Oh, okay. This Friday, I have a show up in Boulder City early at 8 o'clock. And then my show Those Skills later that night. Then Saturday, I'm taping for Hot Mic, part of Heartbeat Weekend at the Resort World. And then Sunday, I'm at Jimmy Kimmel's with Lunell.
Okay.
9:30.
All right. That's we'll look forward to that. And if y'all are in town, should be sure to look him up. Steven?
Yes, Mom.
Where were you this week?
Where was I this week? This week I was at the Hilarious 7. I was also at the LA Comedy Club. In September, you can see me at several Hilarious 7 shows. You can look it up at StephenRobertsComedian.com. And also, I'll be headlining at the Bent Inn here in Las Vegas for the Underwear Show.
Oh,
what's the name of it again?
The Underwear
Show. The name of
Bent In. It's a gay bar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You got it. Yeah. You got it right. Bent.
I wasn't going to say nothing. You know, that's not my
business. I caught that. Bent In.
Bent In. Well,
Bent you In.
Know, I do shows for old people. So so I can see you doing shows for gay people.
Yeah. You know, just like Skills right now is demonstrating how he was in the pool.
No, he was more like
it was floating up.
So, anyway, thank you both for being here. I love you madly. I look forward to seeing you again next week. I wish all the best for you and you. I thank you for giving me the best of you.
Mom, same here, we love you so much.
And before we can go, hey, birthday boy, are you available this Friday?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see you this Friday.
Yeah, guess what I have for you?
Oh!
Yes, I bought Skills a hat in Chicago.
Okay.
Another raiment.
So I'll be at your show this Friday.
Yes, show those skills this Friday. Birthday boy in the building, y'all.
probably the most, one of the most beautiful African-American history museums I've seen is the Wright Museum in Detroit. First of all, we had a ball in Detroit. Detroit's a wonderful city, gets a bad rap, but we had big fun. Good food, good music, good people. And the Wright Museum, when you walk in, it almost takes your breath away. There's this big rotunda, and it's like an amphitheater. And on the floor, they have, I don't know what they call it, a pictogram map that lays out the whole Atlantic slave trade and on the floor. It's just a beautiful, beautiful building and museum when you walk in. And then you go through this amazing reenactment of the transatlantic slave trade. And you're actually in the ship. You're in the bowels of the ship. And you're you see the change. They tell us that we had a wonderful guy. We had a private tour. It was during COVID, so there weren't a lot of people there, but he was wonderful and told us so much information, and it was just a very informative and enriching experience to go through. So anytime you get a chance, and even as I talked about Calvin and the history of show business, I'm not an expert or a scholar. I've researched some of these things on my own about blackface and its foundational role in American show business. But if anybody has expertise and wants to share it with us, I'd love to have you on the show to just tell us the truth and the stories and as many as we can hear and preserve and share. I would love to do that. There's so much about the threads Black people have woven in the fabric of the American flag that we need to talk about. And if they want to take it out of schools, if they want to ban the books, if they want to do whatever they want to do, we are not without resources and power. And one of them is the treasure that is African American historical sites and museums. And we I encourage you, if I have a mission in life, is I encourage you to visit them often and donate when you can. Remember, like, comment, share, subscribe, come back again. Drop us a line. Let us know what you like and what you don't, what you'd like to see, who you'd like to see. And come back again. We're going to try to keep this train running on the track. Thank you for spending time with me. Come back every Friday at midnight, every Thursday night, Friday morning, and share a little time with us and have a drink, maybe a little cognac. Whoopi got some good shit. Thank you again. Good night.
Got a way no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know